Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
From KCUR, this is Up to Date with Steve Kraske. I'm intern Gabby Martinez. Americans have observed Earth Day since it was founded in 1970 by Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson. Prior to its formation, the U.S. had no environmental regulations. That means no EPA, Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, or Endangered Species Act. So, this Earth Day, 54 years after it was first observed, Steve speaks with three people working to make Kansas City a more sustainable place to live all year round. In a bit, we'll hear from Kristen Edwards, the owner of The Greener Home, and Dan Hurrier, who owns Compost Collective KC. But first, Steve speaks with Sarah Crowder, the Director of Forestry and Natural Systems at an organization called Bridging the Gap.
Tell me about your work with Bridging the Gap. What programs and projects are you working on right now?
Sure. So Bridging the Gap is an environmental nonprofit working in the Kansas City metro. We work on both sides of the state line. And I get to oversee the three programs that do the green stuff. So we have the Heartland Tree Alliance, which is planting trees, educating people about trees, doing young tree maintenance. We also have KC Wildlands, which is going into our remnant forests and prairies, removing invasive plants that are threatening.
We were just talking about in our last segment.
Threatening our forests, doing seed collection as well.
That's hard work, right?
It is hard work. It is hard work. And then the third program is the Green Stewards Program, which is a workforce training program to teach individuals how to take care of rain gardens. It's a great job.
You referred to yourself before as an urban forester. What exactly is that?
Sure. I get that asked. I get that a lot. So an urban forester looks at our forest as a whole. So I'm also a certified arborist. Arborists tend to look at trees on a singular level, like if you're going to have tree care done at your property. But a forester tends to come in and look at all the trees. So in Kansas City, we have one urban forest that goes across state line. It goes across front yards and backyards, private and public, and creates this one organism that's providing us benefits.
Huh.
So I get to look at that and assess it. And
so you look at the Kansas City, the metro, as a forest?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's because it is.
It is. Yeah. It is. Again, because trees, people will say, well, my neighbor's tree is shading my house, right? The trees don't know property lines, and they cover and they provide benefits to anybody in and around them, which is great.
You know, during your career here, Sarah, what project have you felt the most passion and excitement for, and how come?
You know, quite honestly, recently we have seen a significant boost in federal funding towards trees in the urban space. So it is an interesting direction that we're going that we really haven't come before. And so what I'm really excited about is this surge of excitement and energy into getting more trees planted in our cities. One of the projects that we're working on right now is giving away trees for Kansas City, Missouri residents that they can take home and plant on their private property. Oftentimes, funding is more focused on public space, the public right-of-way next to the street or the public park. But this is a space where we can provide trees that homeowners can take home and plant in their backyards and their front yards to provide benefits.
And how many people are interested in this program?
Oh, a number. We just finished our first year in partnership with Kansas City, Missouri, and with the Arbor Day Foundation. We gave away 2,000 trees, and we have a wait list to do it again. So we'll be doing, again, free trees for Kansas City, Missouri residents. We've also been doing this program with Evergy, in partnership with Evergy, and we're going to be giving away 100 trees in the city of Grandview coming up in May.
Same kind of program. So what do you think has been the most meaningful impact you've seen directly from the environmental work that you've done? I mean, do you get the feedback from local folks very often?
We do. Oftentimes we have to ask those questions. I think the feedback that, you know, the stories that we get, it's the aha moment. With anything that Bridging the Gap does, we're volunteer based. All the work is done by volunteers. So I want to say that first of all, we wouldn't be able to do this work. We're a small organization, but every workday involves an educational component. We want people to understand what they're doing, the importance and the impact that they're making. And walking away from a lot of our workdays, cleaning out a forest that's been encroached with honeysuckle, that like aha moment where the volunteer's like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. Or people come up and say, hey, I just planted a tree about a year ago. You think I can fix it? Because you just taught me something that I should have done and I didn't do it. Can I still fix it? And so those kind of like learning moments, I think, are really impactful.
How much of the work at Bridging the Gap, the work that it does is done by volunteers?
Not 90% of it. We are a small staff of just around 30. We run the recycling centers. We do litter abatement, plus the three programs I talked to you about. So we do a lot of work spread, but it is, we have over 1,400 volunteers typically.
1,400?
Yeah.
Do you need more prior experience to get involved?
None at all. That's what's so great about our programs is, again, it has that educational component. We spend the first 20 minutes of the workday letting you know exactly what's expected of you. We provide the tools. We provide the safety and the oversight. So,
what's the time commitment?
Usually anywhere between 2 to 3 hours. Most of our work days go about that range. Maybe 4 at our recycling centers, which is a really interesting place to work. It's a lot of customer service, engaging with people coming in, just trying to sort their recycling. So,
what inspired you to do this work?
I grew up in Northwest Arkansas with my toes in the dirt and on the rivers, and I knew I wanted to do something environmental, but I was really fortunate and privileged that I had a family friend who was a urban forester for the state of Arkansas, and it's like, I didn't even know that job existed, right? So I was able to sort of learn about that career, and I went to college and immediately jumped
that
right
was,
into
that
it.
Was
I was hooked.
Thing.
I was just hooked.
What is the environmental issue in Kansas City that you think doesn't get talked about often enough?
Oh, that's a good question. The buzzword that we're hearing a lot right now is the urban heat island effect. And I'm not going to say that that's the one that but it's talked about the most right now. And that is just this phenomenon where we're hotter in our built environments when there's more concrete, when there's more rooftops, when there's more impervious, meaning it doesn't absorb that water. It also reflects the light and makes it hotter. So we have this phenomenon. You can see it in the morning weather station. You know, it's 10 degrees hotter downtown than it is out in Olathe or Overland Park.
Right.
So I think that's the big one that we are talking about.
We're talking with three folks about the environmental work they do on this Earth Day 2024. That was the voice of Sarah Crowder. She's Director of Forestry and Natural Systems with Bridging the Gap. Let me turn now to Dan Herrier. He's the owner of Compost Collective KC. And tell me about what exactly the Compost Collective does, Dan. I mean, what kind of services do you guys offer?
Yeah, so Compost Collective brings waste from table to farm rather than farm to table. We bring food waste from people's homes, from businesses. We take it to a farm, compost it, and get that food out of the landfill and doing the good work that it needs to be doing in the soil, fertilizing the soil, sequestering carbon, and doing good environmental work. I wear a couple of hats. I am the owner of Compost Collective KC, but I'm also a regenerative farmer at Herbivore Farm. And so I'm not only composting the waste, but I'm also growing the food that the composting is aiding in growing. So
wow.
It's a full circle, very cool to be a part of and see, you know, thousands of people engaging with it here locally.
It's recycling, basically, right?
It's recycling. Yeah. We're bringing the, closing the circle. Essentially, we're closing the circle of food waste going from the consumer's plate instead of the waste basket going into a compost bucket. We're hauling that waste to our farm, generating beautiful compost from it. It goes on to the fields of our farm, but it also goes to community gardens, school gardens, and even our own customers' backyards to sequester carbon and grow more food.
And the compost that you get out of something like this is truly really rich, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's black gold, right?
Yeah. Is that what you call it?
Well, sure, absolutely.
Yeah. How would somebody sign up for it?
So go to our website, compostcollectivekc.com. There you'll find lots of information on composting and the work that we do, but also the sign-up forms and things that you need to start service. We offer commercial service, but we, you know, for businesses and events and weddings and things like that. But we also, you know, we serve about 3,000 residences right now, and you can get your compost picked up at the curb, or you can go to one of our partnering businesses where we actually swap a bin for a clean bin. You drop off a dirty bin and full of compost. We give you a clean bin to take back home.
How did you get involved in something like this, Dan?
Well, you know, I've been engaged in environmental work since I was a teenager. I grew up in Midtown Kansas City, always saw the issues of connectivity, you know, the urban landscape, and was an avid cyclist for many, many years. So I've been engaged in environmental work since the beginning, but composting goes hand in hand with farming, right? And as a regenerative farmer, I've been doing that work for over 20 years now, and you know, composting is about bringing the nutrients back to the soil and regenerating the soil.
What would the impact be if nobody composted?
Well, you know, at the status quo is that people aren't composting enough. We have in our business about 3,000 people participating. We're a city of almost 2.5 million people. We don't have enough composting going on.
Are we behind compared to other cities around the country?
I would say so.
Are there metrics out there you can look at?
Absolutely. Yeah, we are behind. We have two facilities in Kansas City that are state approved facilities for recycling food waste. Missouri Organic runs one of them. We run the other one. And that's not nearly enough to capture the volume of waste that we're producing here in Kansas City.
Yeah. Why do you need a service to do this? Why can't people just do it in their backyards?
Well, people can do it in their backyards, and I absolutely encourage people to do it in their backyards. But people, you know, composting has a lot of different benefits, and people, I think, garner all of the benefits when they compost through a service. When they compost in their backyards, people don't realize the amount of work that it is. So you really have to manage the compost, turn it, make sure that you have the right mix of materials so that you're getting all of the benefits.
It also attracts critters, right?
It can. If you are, you know, our service, you can compost meat and dairy, paper waste, napkins, tissues, and things like that. And also the service containers, like the food service containers that you might get at a restaurant that are certified compostable. We do all of those things, and those are not necessarily something that you can do in your backyard. And we're reducing methane emissions from landfills when we compost. So it's really important to that's a key greenhouse gas that's really warming the environment very quickly.
So what advice would you give to someone if they're actually thinking about starting composting at home?
Composting at home, make sure that the foundation of your system is good. So people like to use the compost turners a lot, kind of the barrel turners in their backyards a lot. For those, you want to make sure you have the right mix of wet materials, kind of green materials is what we call them, like the food waste, versus dry materials and brown materials like leaves and wood chips and things like that. That's important to get that mix right so that we're not creating smells and not getting the result that we want. But I think the three-bay system, just using some old pallets and creating some posts and doing the three-bay system is really the best system that we can do. Putting the new stuff in one and then turning it into another one when we move it down the line.
What do you think's stopping more people from taking advantage of services like yours? Is it a mindset or what is it?
Well, I think that too few people are aware of the issue at all, but also it's not free. We do have a free service that we offer, dropping off at our farm, which is on the east side of town, just about 5 miles from the Country Club Plaza. But, you know, our services cost. We have a cost of doing business that we have to cover. And this is really something that we need our local governments engaging with and providing, covering those costs, providing free services to residents so that everyone can access it.
Okay, that's Dan Herrier. He's owner of Compost Collective KC. Dan, thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more from this conversation in just a minute.
You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
And now joining us is Kristen Edwards. She's owner of The Greener Home. Kristen, so good to have you here again.
Hello.
Again, your service works to provide households with toiletries, cleaning products, and sustainable goods that are safe for you. Why did you decide to open The Greener Home?
Well, it basically started with my children. I wanted to make sure that I was giving them the best start possible. But as a full-time employee, I work for the federal government. In addition to running my business, I'm an air traffic controller. It's a very busy life. And I know that that's kind of across the board, the state of our society. We're very busy. So just trying to go to your regular big box store or anywhere along those lines and try to find something that's a truly green product that's not been greenwashed. It's very difficult to take.
You say greenwash. What does that mean?
Greenwashing is sort of not target a specific brand. It's a packaging image that frames the product that makes you think it's green, but in fact it isn't. It either has chemicals in it that are not actually green, that have been shown to be what is known as an endocrine disruptor, which is something that can affect our hormonal balance within our bodies and cause a wide variety of long-term health issues. Or it's just packaged in a packaging that isn't actually fully recyclable or compostable. There's really only two plastics that are in our economy that are actually easily recyclable. And then the end life on those, it's a diminishing return. So if a certain plastic is recyclable for one cycle, the further it gets recycled, the less likely it is going to be recyclable down the line.
So, well, there's a lot of greenwashing in our society,
isn't it?
Whether it's the products you're dealing with or even food products that people, it's marketed as something that's really healthy for you. Then you read the ingredients on the back and it's not even close.
It's that small print. It gets you every time. And a lot of people just don't have the time to do that. So what we do is we research small companies that are sustainably sourcing, ethically producing. Majority of our companies that we work in tandem with are located here in the United States. So they're reducing our carbon footprint because we do not have to ship our products as far of a distance to get to our business. And we make sure that they are legitimately green. Like a majority of our products are vegan. They're gluten-free. There's no endocrine disruptors. And then they're either package-free, fully recyclable, or fully compostable. And we also offer an option where you can bring a bottle from home that might not be fully recyclable, but is perfectly good to reuse and fill it with a product of your choice within the store.
Are they effective?
They are effective, indeed. Actually, some of the products that we offer are even on a higher concentrated level and purity standard than what you can normally get at your more famous or popular, well-known stores.
So you guys are buying these products and then reselling them.
Exactly.
And you're certifying that they're as green as they're intended to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was it like for you starting your own business? You're a busy person, it sounds like.
I am a busy person. Some might say I'm an unhinged person. but, you know, it was something that I felt passionate about. And if I was going to try to do something that was going to bring about a little bit more financial independence for me and my family, I also wanted to make sure that I was contributing to the community. I wasn't going to run a business where I was going to lose sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the driving factor. Like, I want to do something good to help our community. And so far, the most recent count, which is a very conservative count, we've managed to keep 7,000 plastic containers out of the landfills here in Kansas City, just north of the river alone. So that's kind of what I wanted to do.
The business is The Greener Home. So how's it going? Just you're keeping bottles out. That's good. How's the business going?
It's going well. We see growth every month. We have a limited advertising budget, so it's very much word of mouth and just kind of discovering. Everybody's kind of just surprised that we're there and to find us on Main Street in downtown Parkville.
Is that where you are?
Yes, that is where we are. So it's kind of always just a fun discovery for people to come in and find this magical place where they can replace anything that they want to with a sustainable option.
So what product that you carry has been the biggest game changer in your own life?
That would probably be our laundry concentrate. It only takes 1 tablespoon per load of laundry. So you can bring in a 16-ounce bottle, get 32 loads for a very economical price. And so it's going to reduce your space. It's going to clean your clothes very effectively. It rinses completely clean because it doesn't leave any kind of chemical that actually creates those strong fragrances that you see with much more popular brands, these right. larger corporate brands, because it is rinsing completely clean and it's using all natural ingredients.
Huh.
Yes.
What's it called?
The brand is called Root and Splendor. It's made by a mother of four boys out in California, and she's actually a native of Waldo. She grew up here
in town.
Yes.
So do people bring – how do people connect with your business? Do they bring bottles in and refill, or how does it work?
A lot of times, yes. We have people that bring in their bottles from home. I've had people bring in their gallon-sized pickle jars to fill with laundry detergent. We also have bottles.
Do you sell it by the ounce or something?
We actually do it by the weight. So you bring in your container. We put it on our scale. We zero out the scale. It's called a tare. And then you fill it with the product of your choice. So you don't have to fill it completely. Mm-hmm. You can just put however much you want to try if you're new to it and you're a little unsure. And then we put that back on the scale. And so you're paying for the exact amount that's in that container.
People who try this laundry detergent, I gather they're coming back over and over and over again.
Yes, they are.
Once you try it, they like it.
Yes, we actually, I just got in contact with a woman who came in who was just stopping by on her way to leave town, bought some laundry concentrate and reached out to see if I could ship her a gallon of it, which would be 256 loads. And she's in Indiana. So, yeah, we definitely have a fan base for our laundry concentrate.
So if I walked into your store for the first time, what would you recommend to me?
Well, the laundry concentrate.
Yeah.
We have some fantastic shampoo and conditioner bars, so that eliminates your need for a plastic container. And they are probably one of the more nourishing products that we see. It definitely
shampoo
helps.
Shampoo bars?
A shampoo bar and conditioner bar.
What is that?
It's like a soap bar for your hair. So you lather up the bar, work it on top of your scalp, kind of just like cover your hair with the bar real quick. It lathers up just like a normal shampoo, but it rinses cleaner, and it actually helps with any kind of number of issues that you have. It's great for all hair types.
The world's changing before my eyes.
Absolutely. And the conditioner bar is even better. I've had the same bar for 20 months, and it's still going strong.
That was our host, Steve Kraske, speaking with three people in our metro who are working to make Kansas City a more sustainable place. Up to Date is a production of KCUR, and this podcast was produced by me, Gabby Martinez. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with more Up to Date soon.
Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Starris Institute.